everyone. I'm Ashley McManus, Senior Director of Global Marketing at Affectiva, a smart AI company. Welcome to the Human-Centric AI Podcast, where each episode we interview a thought leader doing cutting-edge work in the AI space. A little bit about us. Affectiva is on a mission to humanize technology. Acquired by SmartAI in 2021, Affectiva created and defined the emotion AI and human insight AI categories. Built on deep learning, computer vision, speech science, and massive amounts of real-world data, Affectiva's technology can detect nuanced human emotions, complex cognitive states, activities, interactions, and objects people use. For over 20 years, SmartAI has developed AI in the form of eye tracking technology that understands, supports, and predicts a person's intentions and actions. By carefully studying eye, facial, and head movement, our tech can draw conclusions about a person's awareness and mental state. Our eye tracking tech is providing new insights for research within automotive, aerospace, aviation, neuroscience, and more. Today's episode features Lynn Deason, Head of Creative Excellence at Kantar. Kantar is the world's leading data, insights, and consulting company. They understand more about how people think, feel, shop, share, vote, and view than anyone else. Combining their expertise in human understanding with advanced technologies, Kantar's 30,000 people help the world's leading organizations succeed and grow. Lynn is a trusted advisor to the most senior levels in major client organizations, and she is passionate about brands, brand communications, and brand experience. A recognized high achiever with proven impact to clients as individuals, their brands, and their organizations overall, Lynn provides a very informed perspective as a result of wide experience internationally and across sectors. Lynn and I talked about the secrets behind creating impactful and memorable ad campaigns. We also explore the creative strategies behind brand McDonald's and Cadbury campaigns, the results of emotion AI technology in advertising, and the future trends shaping the industry. Let's listen in to learn more. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. With me today, I have Lynn Deason, Head of Creative Excellence at Kantar. Lynn, thank you so much for making the time to speak with me today.
Thank you for having me, Ashley. It's great to be here.
So for those who are unfamiliar with Kantar, which we have had a couple podcasts in the past, but can you briefly share more about the company and tell us about your background?
Yeah, thank you. So we're a big global business. We deliver research-based consultancy that's focused on really shaping the brands of tomorrow by better understanding people everywhere. So the guidance that we give to clients is anchored in understanding people and understanding brands and the connection between those and how we can use that guidance to help clients make better decisions. I've been with Kantar for over 25 years now. It might sound like, you know, how can you stay in the same job for 25 years? But actually, working for a global organization that covers such a broad reach of different areas, that taps into my passion. Yeah, I'm personally really fascinated by understanding people and understanding those connections with brands, and also an opportunity for those brands to really make a difference. So the combination of those things and constantly learning, no day's boring, you're always growing, has kept me here for a long time.
Yes, I was just going to ask you to describe your role at Kantar. I don't know if you wanted to expand on, you know, your team, the vision you have, or anything that you're currently working on.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the moment, I look after all of our thought leadership and PR for advertising, or our creative specialism in the UK, and also ensuring that our approaches, the solutions that we have in place for clients, answer any questions that clients have. You know, of course, the hot topics change with time, but also technology changes with time. So we're also making sure our solutions leverage technology in a way that adds value and makes a difference rather than just doing it for the sake of it.
Awesome. So let's dive into the topic of the podcast, starting with, you know, creative process and strategy. I know there were a few different ads we've discussed, and we'll link them all in the show notes so people can watch them. One we can start with, and please share more examples if you have, can you walk us through the creative process behind this McDonald's Deliciously Good campaign and how the idea of mmming came about?
Yes, so McDonald's has a bit of a famous association with mmm.
Yeah.
But a strategic need here was they'd improved the recipe of their products. Mm-hmm. And so they needed a creative and a memorable way to convey that. So what they did was they structured an idea around magnifying that moment of real pleasure of eating the product. So what you see in the ad, again, play it for people so they can have a listen, is you see at the moment the guy enjoys the product, you hear him singing in line with a piece of music, which I won't replicate for you. Yeah. Your audience doesn't need to hear that.
Yes, we got it. We can share with them later. and you did touch on the role, like what is this role of this concept of creative magnifier play in the development of this campaign, but also other campaigns? Is it something that can kind of be applicable across different brands and strategies?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really important principle when you're thinking about how to create effective advertising. So I told you already that Kantar focused on understanding people. And a key part of that is understanding the brain, you know, what we pay attention to, how we remember things. And when it comes to advertising effectiveness, people don't remember the detail of an ad. Of course, the people who've worked in it will, but the audience don't. They'll remember the gist of it, or they'll remember a specific moment. And we call that moment the creative magnifier. So for that to benefit your brand in the long term, people need to associate it with your brand. So it's got to have a link to your brand, but also it's got to link in some way intuitively. So when I say that, I mean without people having to think hard about it, to what you're trying to say, to the associations that you want to land. So you can see how when you think about the McDonald's ad, that moment very much ties into McDonald's because it's something they're famous for from previous advertising. But it also, of course, cues that taste moment and helps land their revised recipe really well and creates that desire to want to go and try it yourself.
Yeah, I would love to talk to you about, there's a couple of Cadbury campaigns we've been talking about. Can you just touch on, and again, we'll link in the show notes so people can see it, but can you explain these two different ad campaigns and expand on the concepts of storytelling and story doing? I thought this was really fascinating.
Yeah, thank you. So Cadbury's been on an amazing transformational journey. They have this multi-award-winning campaign, which is anchored in generosity. So what they found back in 2016 was they were losing some ground in terms of sales. So they'd had a very famous ad, which some people may have heard of, called The Drumming Gorilla, and a series of those, which were all about joy. But what they found was that was becoming a category generic, like chocolate's a joyful thing for most of us, isn't it? So they needed to find a way to differentiate themselves strategically. And so we partnered with them to uncover what that might be. Cadbury's been around for 200 years. It's its 200-year anniversary this year. And especially in the UK, it's a brand that has really soft spot in people's hearts because it's part of people's lives for so long. But if you go back to the roots of the brands, it was established by a Quaker. And, you know, today a lot of businesses talk about being very purposeful, whether that's doing things in a way that's better for the audience, for their consumers, or for employees. And if you go back to the origin of Quakers, 200 years ago, they were already doing things like that. So that's where this inspiration for the global campaign, which is anchored in generosity, came from. So there are a series of ads that have been created around that. And some of those, as you were saying, Ashley, about storytelling. So they had a 200-year anniversary ad, which was a remake of the first ad in the campaign, which is called Mum's Birthday. And what we see happening in this ad, it's beautiful. It's very emotionally and very moving, incredibly memorable, hugely effective. What we see happening is there's a mum and a little girl. They're out. She's picked her up from school. The mum takes a phone call and the little girl goes into the shop and she asks the shopkeeper, please, may I have a bar of chocolate? She doesn't have any money to pay him. She gets some buttons out of her purse and gives them to him. And he's very generous. So his act of generosity is to give the little girl a bar of chocolate. And then his second act of generosity, because he indicates it's going to cost her a little bit more than her buttons, is he gives her some change. So he gives her back her unicorn. And then the little girl, in her act of generosity, goes and wishes her mum happy birthday. So a beautiful story that the brand is very central to, in that creative magnifier moment that we talked about. Yeah. And the associations that Cadbury wants to build, all of these thoughts and feelings are also very central to that. Alongside that, a particular seasonal moments generally where these are very competitive times commercially, the brand will also do story doing. So at Christmas, they have a campaign called Secret Santa, where what they do is they enable people to give an act of kindness. So you can be Secret Santa. You have to go and find a digital poster somewhere. I found one. I was ridiculously excited. And so the character in the ad, if people watch it, is a fabulous man called Jeff, Jeff the Postman. And so I found Jeff in Solihull, a town in the Midlands in the UK. And you scan the QR code and you can send a bar of chocolate for free. It doesn't cost you anything, to someone special. So I sent it to my two boys. And the, what the ad does, they have a TV ad and then they have a series of outdoor posters everywhere, is it explains the process, but in a really engaging, memorable, unique way. So that's about enabling acts of generosity, but also Cadbury being very generous as a business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the examples. We'll link in the show notes so people can and watch that, because I would be excited if I could scan and send chocolates.
Yeah, it's great.
So maybe we can get it over to the U.S. So for emotional connection and engagement, so all of these campaigns we've talked about, they're noted for these different abilities to evoke, you know, strong emotional reactions. Mm. I was wondering if you could explain the importance of emotional engagement in advertising and how facial coding was used to measure this.
Yeah, so I think there's never been a more exciting time or a more challenging time to be creating advertising. Because there are so many contexts in which you can engage your audience nowadays. But it's also challenging because we live in a time of bombardment where there are more distractions and more things competing for our attention than ever before. So we have to think really hard about what the human brain pays attention to. So we're primed to pay attention to things that are really different or original. That's a bit of a, you know, a survival thing. If something's different, we sit up and pay note. And if something's emotive, if it makes us feel something, either because it's really entertaining or it might be anchored in something that's really relevant and meaningful to us, then we're also more likely to pay attention. But this isn't just about attention. It's about creating memories.
Yes.
Because you're not just viewing something. When you feel something, you're engaged, you're emotionally engaged with it. And that's how memories are created. Mm-hmm. So emotion is key to the effectiveness of your ads. But then also, it's really key to remember that emotion is key to people choosing one brand or another. Yeah. So ads, you know, within advertising effectiveness, it's not just what you say, but how you bring it to life creatively and the emotions that evokes that then also become attached to your brand. Mm-hmm. So that effectiveness has got kind of two sides to it, the effectiveness of the ad per se, but then also how that contributes to what people think and feel about your brand and how that predisposes them to choose you over another alternative in those key moments.
Can you expand on measuring that, like facial coding and how that plays a role in this?
Absolutely. So we partner with Affectiva in doing that using facial coding, as you've said. And this is really important, not only in just measuring the depth of that emotional engagement, but also often there'll be an intended narrative arc in a story. So if you think back to mum's birthday, you know, you've got an emotional journey that you want to send people on. So we're looking to see, you know, are those moments of sentimentality or maybe sadness triggered? Are there moments of surprise? Are there moments of smiles, you know, when the shopkeeper gives her the chocolate bar, and when she goes, especially when she goes out and she gives the chocolate to her mum, it is such a trigger of smiles. Mm-hmm. So the facial coding allows us to see, is that story arc working in the way we intended? Because often that's where ads can fall down. So, you know, the people working on them get so close to them, they can't see the wood for the trees anymore. And there's this effect called knowledge bias where, you know the story, you know what's meant to happen. So, of course, when you watch it, that's what you experience. But your audience don't have that prior knowledge. So being able to decode and really understand if the arc is working as intended and which key moments stand out as well is really valuable.
Absolutely. I'm curious, how can people ensure that an ad resonates emotionally on repeat viewings and not just on the first time?
So one of the things we do is we expose people to the ad twice. So we're capturing their facial reactions to the ad twice. And it's a great question, actually. Thank you. Because what we're able to then do is contrast the responses between that first exposure and that repeat exposure. So if there's a joke, for example, we can see, you know, are people smiling the second time around when they hear it? Or if it's an ad where people might have to think a bit harder about it, and I would caution people against doing that too much because we're interested ad. Well, I know in ads, I know certainly the team at Kantar, I'm sure you are too. Generally, people don't care, so they won't work hard at figuring out. But if you do have one that requires a little bit more reflection, we can see if on the second exposure, are people's facial reactions different? So there might have been a lot of focus or perhaps an element of confusion the first time around. Second time around, when they know what's coming, can we see if they've understood it or not? So this was often a question that we couldn't answer before because we didn't know. We couldn't see, whereas the ability to actually see people's natural facial reactions without reflection, looking at the difference between those two, answers some really important questions.
Definitely. And I think that one of the ads that we had talked about here was the ads branding is in the top 2% of all UK ads. And I was curious what specific brand cues are crucial in achieving this high level of brand recognition. And maybe as you look at different ads, how do you go about assessing this quality and the potential impact of what this ad might have?
So again, another great question. You know, emotional engagement is really important in advertising, as we've talked about. But if advertising is going to have an effect on your commercial outcomes, whether that's selling more or people being willing to pay a bit more for your brand, which is another really key role that advertising can play, then those memories have got to be associated with your brand. So brand cues are one of the key ways to do that. So another famous campaign that McDonald's had very recently that has been very successful for them is called Raise Your Arches. I see people doing in the ad is raising their eyebrows. And with McDonald's being famous for the golden arches, you know, they've used that really in a really creatively interesting way.
Yeah.
Especially because they committed to that idea over time, that became a brand key. So you didn't actually see McDonald's in those ads until right at the end, but the brand was being cued by seeing something that people instantly associate with it. Mm-hmm. But there are other ways in which to make sure that your brand comes through. We talked about the creative magnifier, so making sure that your brand is connected to the part of the ad that people remember. Saying something that fits with what people already think and feel about your brand. So there's no dissonance there, you know, it aligns emotionally. So thinking about Cadbury, talking about generosity and showing up in a specific way with a specific tone of voice gives you that fit. Okay. And then finally, it's uniqueness of impressions, which is where only your brand could be saying those things. Okay. So there's many ways to strengthen it, but commercially, it's a really important thing to get right.
So, and going back to the technology piece of this, I was curious if you can share any specific metrics or feedback that highlight a certain campaign success.
Yeah. So, if we think about Cadbury, if we think about branding, it landed in the top 2% of all ads for branding. So that was the one we were talking about.
Yep.
The other thing that ad and the whole campaign actually does really well, it's something that globally Mondelez are really committed to, is it portrays people positively. So in Mum's Birthday, you know, the shopkeeper comes across very well because he's so generous, yeah. But also the mum and the little girl. And we've done some work with the Unstereotype Alliance and Said Business School to show that actually, when you do portray people positively, when you're diverse and inclusive in your portrayals of people, then that increases commercial returns. So there's a great benefit from doing that. And that ad is also really distinctive. So from a creativity point of view, that's a really great measure. You know, what you don't want to do is be in the sea of sameness. Being bland is a route to being ignored or forgotten. So it falls in the top 2% of ad distinctiveness. But the commercial results behind Cadbury are incredible. You know, their brand value increased by more than 50% as valued by Kantar Brand Z. Value sales increased by 22%. And their long-term equity, we call that a Kantar, the demand power or the predisposition to choose the brand over others, grew by 85%.
Wow.
So this isn't just about advertising. It's about all of those encounters being consistent. You know, they've innovated brilliantly, but it has played a really key role in transforming their success.
Nice. Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground today. So I don't know if we're able to do this, but if you have any thoughts on lessons and best practices for advertisers and brands, you know, based on the successes of these different campaigns, what can these other brands learn about creating impactful and memorable ads?
So I think get your strategy right, first of all. So great work is born from a great brief. And if you have a really clear, universally understood definition of what your brand is all about within the business, then you're more likely to be successful in your advertising. And then take time to understand people, you know, because people pay attention to things that make them feel something. You've got to uncover those insights, and not just at a surface level, but go a bit deeper. Tap into culture, tap into the zeitgeist, or find something that's really unique about your brand as a really great anchor. I think be creatively bold. And then finally, you know, research the response to your advertising. If we think about digital advertising, often people will just put ads out there because they can see if they're working in some regards through performance marketing. But it's a real flip of a coin. You know, for example, if you look at YouTube ads, taking the same an ad on TV and expecting it to be effective on YouTube, there's a 50-50 chance it will be as effective.
Yeah.
So, you know, creative quality is the number one driver after brand size in terms of profitability of your advertising. So making sure you're getting it right, that it's emotionally engaging, and that your brand is connected to it, pays dividends many, many, many times over.
Very cool. So conversely, and you might have touched on this a little bit, are there any common pitfalls that you see time and time again that brands should avoid when trying to create similarly effective campaigns?
Yeah. So the other thing I would think about is what we touched on earlier, which is knowledge bias. So trying to check, you know, think about, if I hadn't seen this ad for the first time, would I get it? Would I make the connections that I intended to or not? Because, of course, it's really essential to make sure you've got the bones or the ingredients of a great idea. You know, if you're going to do research, do it early, because you've got the biggest opportunity to transform it. But you need to make sure you're doing it justice by bringing it to life in a way that works for brains that aren't as interested as yours is.
Love that. Awesome. So last question I have for you. So looking ahead to the future, you know, what trends are you currently seeing in the advertising industry that you believe will really shape the next generation of successful campaigns? And how do you see the role of emotional engagement evolving in the future of advertising?
So I think AI is probably the biggest thing that's transforming the creative industry at the moment, mm-hmm. and also the research industry. So whether you're using AI to uncover human insights from big data, whether you're using AI to actually create content, or even optimize its deployment, you know, through performance marketing, looking at which ads are working and automatically making those changes through AI, there's a lot going on in that space. We also use AI or machine learning to be able to evaluate and predict the effectiveness of ads. So what this enables people to do, for example, as I was saying, a lot of digital ads don't get evaluated. So what you can do very cost effectively and very quickly is use AI to look at what's working and what isn't and get under the skin of that. So yeah, I think AI is really exciting. But when you talk about emotion, I think making sure you know that we're avoiding the bias that can be inherent with AI if we're not prompting it or guiding it in the right way is key. And I think emotional engagement will become increasingly key to the effectiveness of advertising as we go into the future. You know, making sure your ads are distinctive, but also that you're consistently owning an emotional territory and attaching that to your brand.
Fabulous. Well, that is all I had for you today. Lynn, once again, thank you so much for your time. It was such a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed talking with you.
This was a great discussion on a different take of the role of emotion in ad campaigns. And what really resonated most with me was the cabaret example of storytelling versus story doing and creating these really exciting interactive experiences with brands that are really true to their core values. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the Human-Centric AI podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts for new episodes. We're also on social media, so please reach out to us on X, formerly Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram using hashtag Human-Centric AI Podcast, Affectiva, or SmartEye to share any feedback you have on the show and weigh in on the discussion. Don't forget to rate us and comment with your feedback to help make the podcast more discoverable for others. Until next time, thanks for listening.